I want to look at a few scriptures this morning. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me, and I ask the Lord to help us today, because we find that the songs that we're singing are so true. What we find in the Lord is more precious than anything this world can offer. It's a contrast to the darkness that you see all around us. It's a wonderful contrast. I want to start in Malachi, the fourth chapter. No, I didn't spell son wrong up there. I want to look at Malachi 4 and 2. It says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the son," that word son, is the same word that's used for son many, many times in the Bible. We find that Hebrew word used over and over for son. And the scripture in Malachi prophesies just what, 400 years or so before Christ, and he prophesied, "Unto you that fear my name shall the son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." You know, this morning I just want us to think a little bit about this thought. Not because altogether it's this day, but because the Lord inspires his words. Do you know, this morning the sun, I think about the scripture that says weeping may endure for a night, but how does it say it in the morning? Joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. You know, there's something wonderful about the sun coming up. Nights can be long. Nights can have a lot of weeping at times. And I've seen some of that. And I've been part of some of that. Nights can be hard. But I want to tell you, there's something awesome, awesomely wonderful to look out and see the sky start lighting up. There's something wonderful about the sun coming up. It gives hope. It gives hope. It gives security. It gives everything that we have. This world as we know it could not exist with life without the sun. It wouldn't happen. There would be darkness everywhere. It could exist in that fashion. The world could be dark if there wasn't a sun. But I will tell you, the prophet Malachi, 400 years before Christ, prophesied that there was going to be a sunrise in the world of righteousness. A sunrise to people that sat in darkness. A sun that is for people that live in a world that's full of spiritual darkness. Full of wicked deeds. Full of things mistrust. Full of things that bring pain. Full of abuses. And those things are dark. Those things are darkness. They're the night of the world all around us. But I'll tell you, the prophet, he said, there's going to be a sun rise one of these days. And it's going to be a sun of righteousness. And he's going to rise with healing. He's going to rise with healing in his wings. Folks, this morning I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. He came to rise from the grave with healing in his wings. It says here, I want to look at another word or two that it says in this scripture. It says, "Unto you that fear my name." Do you know that he's not a healer for everybody? Do you know the wicked that turn their face against God? They're going to be cast into hell. There isn't any healing for them unless they fear the Lord. I want to encourage us this morning to fear the name of the Lord, and to fear him, and to turn our hearts to him, and to look to him. I want to say that Jesus Christ came with healing in his wings today. The world is full, as we said, of all kinds of darkness and abuses, troubles and problems on every side. But I will tell you what Jesus Christ came to bring. He came to bring healing from those things. It says, "And ye shall go forth as and grow up as calves of the stall." You know what that means? Those calves of the stall are calves that have sat there. They've been in a little space and they've been fed real good. And they grow up and they gain weight and they become valuable. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it, this morning? Unto you that fear my name. I want to encourage every one of us this morning to fear the name of the Lord. We're not talking about just a fear that just melts. Oh, I'm afraid to see the sun. I want to tell you what the sun does. It brings life. The sun brings strength. The sun brings hope of another day. Another day that the night is past and now the day is coming upon us. Don't we love it when we get up early like that and we see the sun? We see things start lightening up in the sky. We know there's something happening. The sun is coming up. I want to tell you, in your life and mine this morning, the sun can come up in our life. And will, if we will let him today, if we'll fear him, and we'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stall this morning. I want to look at a man that met the Lord in this way in Acts, the 26th chapter, and the 13th verse. Here was a man that had it in his mind what he was going to do. He decided this was what's right and this is what I'm going to do. And we find Saul, before he was saved, the Lord changed him and he changed his name with it. But we find him here at telling his story of how he met the Lord. And the sun came upon him. And he said, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun." This wasn't in the night. We might picture this at dusk. We might think, well, he saw a bright light. No, this was at midday. The sun was up in the sky. And he saw a light that was so bright, it just completely overcame the light of the sun. And he fell to the earth, and all of them with him fell to the earth. And the Lord began to say some things. You know, this morning the Lord wants to come up on our life too and speak to us. Paul could have said, no way, Lord, but he didn't. He heard the voice of the Lord, and it made such an intense and powerful change in his life that one time they came along and the people said, "These that have turned the world upside down are come unto us." You know, the Lord worked in his life, and I want to look and see how Paul said this happened. He said, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.'" Do you know that when we're walking on our own road and doing our own thing, it's a hard way. The Lord keeps putting those spurs into us, those pricks that we know we ought to turn from that way. And do you know, Paul, the Lord told him, he said, "Paul, it's hard for you." Paul already knew that. "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." But Paul, this isn't the end of the story. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Paul, you've already seen some things. Paul, you was there when Stephen was stoned. You saw a man that they were taking his life. They were throwing big rocks at him and he was calling out on God for him to be merciful unto you guys. You saw that, Paul. That pricked your heart. You've seen some things. You've heard some things. But I'm gonna appear unto you yet, Paul. And so he said, "You rise up now. Stand on your feet." He said, "I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness." Do you know the Lord wants to take our life? Folks, The Lord doesn't want to save us to be a little shriveled up vine, a little shriveled up fruit. The Lord wants our life to be used of Him in whatever capacity He wants. And so He told Paul here, He said, I want to make of you a minister and a witness. Both of those things you've seen and those things that I'll appear unto you. Delivering thee from the people. Excuse me. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. To open their eyes. Listen to this. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So this morning, I just want to look at some of these things. The reason that we live the way we do. The reason that we fear God the way we do. The reason that we respect His word with all authority that it is this morning. I want to turn now and go back to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and read a little bit about the story that was happening, that happened coming up to Jesus' death. Luke 22 and 48. We find here, but Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Folks, that's human reaction. That's exactly, Peter did that. Somebody else told his name on him. Peter did that. And he cut off the high priest servant's ear. And he wasn't, I'm sure wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He was trying to do a lot more than that. But he was so misguided. And so many times, folks, we're so misguided without the Lord's guidance. He says here, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priest and captains of the temple and the elders which were come out to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth your hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. I want us to think just a minute, folks, about the power of darkness. Jesus laid his life down. No man took it from him. He laid it down of his own accord. And he made plain to them he could have called legions of angels to deliver him had he wanted. But he was concerned about you and me. He was concerned about the darkness that hovers in people's lives and consumes them. And we find here that he took upon him all the power, all the fury, all the violence that the darkness could produce. He took it on himself. And he told them there, he said, you know, I was daily with you in the temple and you didn't do anything. This is all, I have all this under control. But he said, right now, it's your hour in the power of darkness. And do you know what they unleashed upon him? And we'll read that in a minute, a little bit. But they unleashed every evil thing, all the abuse that they could unleash. Folks, he did that so that we, you and me, could be free. So the power of darkness, the chains that hold people in darkness could be broken. Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord wants to break the chains of darkness, despair, abuse, and all of those things of sin, of shame, of degradation, of all those things that are in your lives. If they are, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ came And he bore the fury. And he allowed the power of darkness. Because there was that time that he knew he was going to have to arise from that. He was going to have to endure that. He was going to have to win over that and rise from the grave and come back and give power to you and me. And he did that this morning. I think about the power of darkness and how it destroys folks. And you see it over and over. I never knew how dark sin was till I started having to work with people. Till I started having to work with people that had chains. People that wanted free. Grown men crying, wanting free. Folks, Jesus Christ came to give us life. He came because there is darkness in the world. He came because there is that destroys the hopes and dreams. Somebody said something a while ago before a song was sung along this line. Do you know that we come into life and we're young and we have such hopes and dreams? I hope and pray that your life can be bright. But I want to tell you, it's going to come through Jesus Christ. You're going to suffer a lot of things in life, folks. Believe it or not, you will. The powers of darkness are all around us. And if we dip our lives into the powers of darkness, I'll tell you a little of what that is. Darkness, it's chains of sin. It's those things that kill and maim and destroy our dignity and honor. The things that make us feel good about ourselves, that God gives, is destroyed by sin. It brings abuses into homes again and again. Abuses. I saw a lady, we were sitting eating yesterday in a restaurant. And I will tell you, this woman had a big old spot on her eye. And it looked like a little place on the other side of her nose. I thought, I wonder what the story is. It happens again and again. They say that something like, I want to say close to 15 or 20% of all families endure that kind of abuse where there's people together. From senators and congressmen to whoever you think the lowest man on the totem pole is, they say it happens at about the same rate all the way across. That's sin. That's shame. That's degradation. That's unpleasant living. That's tears being cried. Folks, we don't have to do that this morning. Do you know that the Lord came to break the powers of shame and sin in our lives today? It destroys, it addicts him. You ever seen somebody addicted to drugs that could not get free, they seemed like? And they would go and get dried out and all of those things. Folks, it's very real. In fact, it's everywhere around us. I talked to one of them one time that was struggling. He was free at the moment, and I hope he still is. And his words was he was thinking most of the people in Guthrie are addicted. Well, in his world, they probably were. Had drugs and all that kind of thing. Do you know that there's a whole world of that all around us? And many, many young people in our town here are already addicted, already on things that they wish now they could be free from. I wish I could stop. Addicted to all kinds of other things too, folks. Those things happen. It's the power of darkness. But I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus Christ died and rose again that we might have the sun in our life. That we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring. He came to bring joy into your life and into your home. Do you know that the darkness cannot overcome the light? Where light is, darkness flees. And so we might say, yeah, but you don't understand the situation I'm in. I don't, but I will tell you this. I understand that the sun, when it comes in, it dispels the light. this morning. It dispels the darkness. Thank you. All the powers of darkness. I want to look at Matthew 25 and see here what Jesus endured and what he went through that we might have life and that we might have Son in our life. The Son of God, S-O-N, suffered that he might be the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness this morning. Matthew 27 and 27. Excuse me. Through 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. You ever had the other end of abuse? Have you ever been the recipient of it? I want to tell you, Jesus was. And so he knows. He knows what it's like. It says, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. There was no dignity in that. Can you imagine? And when they plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed. They took it out of his hand. And you know what they did with it? They smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. This morning, this is a little bit of the story of what they did. We all know, and we only have so much time, we cannot read everything, but we know Jesus went to the cross. They nailed him there. They stood him that up and they hung him on that cross. And he suffered agony so we might have life. He took upon him the punishment that should have been ours. And he took upon him. What did we have to come to God with? God, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. What did we have to come to the Lord with? Nothing. But I will tell you, Jesus Christ paved the way that we might be able to go to God. He became that connection that we had, an inner connection to the inner court of God this morning. It says here in John 10 and 17, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know, that was the Lord said that. I thought about the song. I would love to maybe sing that after a while. Jesus paid it all. In the first verse it says, I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. The refrain says, Jesus paid it all. All I owe to him. Sin had left a crimson stain. You know, no one here can say they never had any sin. Folks, every one of us have to come to the place where we meet the Lord, just like Paul did on the road to Damascus. The Lord came upon him and he shone a light around him so bright midday until it threw him to his feet. It threw him on the ground and all those with him. And do you know, he began to hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus paid it all. Verse 2 says, For nothing good have I whereby his grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. I want to tell you something. Sin leaves a crimson stain. Young folks, you haven't gone far enough to know what sin does, but I want to tell you ahead of time, sin leaves a dark mark on your life. There's nothing good and nothing wholesome about sin. It is only fun when it begins. And yes, that fruit tasted good to Eve. Only for a moment. To ruin the rest of her life is what it did. And I want to encourage us this morning to weigh it up in our hearts and minds. Sin left a crimson stain, all right. But folks, Jesus, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power, and Thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. I want to look over in Matthew 28 and 1 to 6 and read another part of the story of Jesus. This whole scene where he came to the place where he gave his life up. But folks, thank God it did not end there, did it? In 28 and 1, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week." What day was that now for us? I think we heard a song about Sunday, didn't we? The first day of the week. And we see that the sun began to dawn on that day. "And came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Do you know? I will tell you how we know what happened here. We know by what happened afterwards. We see what happened to those 12 men, some of them ignorant in this life. Not learned in book knowledge and all of those things. But I will tell you the power of God that was in their life. How could they go about and change the world? How was that possible? Because there was power in the name of Jesus. People that had devils and evil things in their lives were able to be delivered and still are, folks. People that had sicknesses and diseases were healed and still are. And do you know this morning, Jesus went around and we see that his disciples began to preach the power of Christ. The power of deliverance from the darkness. The power of the sun coming up in its full strength. And they began to preach that and the world was changed. And to this day, we are recipients of it this morning. And we thank God for that this morning. Just want to appreciate today the life that Jesus Christ came to bring us. He did no wrong. He didn't suffer because he did wrong. He suffered for our wrong this morning. And so if you think that you've been too bad, if you think there's no hope for you, then you're listening to the power of darkness this morning. Because the sun has come up unto those that fear his name. I want to encourage you to fear his name this morning and love him. In John 1 and 4, we find a very powerful scripture. It says, "In him," in Jesus Christ, "was life. And the life was the light of men." You know, this morning, that light, in it we're able to see. We're able to have direction. We're able to walk. We're able to not knock into everything, make every bump and fall over things and I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking in our life. The sun has come up, folks. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. See how this goes back and forth? Listen to John. I love the book of John, and I love all of John's writings. But we see here in John 10 and 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." We've been talking about that this morning. Folks, the thief is the devil. He's sin. He works through sin. He works through unrighteousness. Don't ever become deceived to think that that one that poured out this fury upon the only one that never sinned, don't think that that one is going to be good to you and me, because he's not. "He cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep," and that's what he did. "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and the wolf cometh, the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." And so this morning, I just want us to think about these few little thoughts. I have just a couple other thoughts here before we are done. But I want to encourage you, I want to read the scripture to you that I've been quoting in Acts 17 and 6. It's been so alive to my heart. "And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying." Now this was Thessalonica, was where it was at, where Thessalonians, those two letters were written to. And this was Paul and Silas that it was speaking about. And it says, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Do you know that the preaching, the power of the gospel, they stoned Paul, they beat Paul. Paul, the devil caused him to be out in the deep, and all these things against him. But do you know that it says, "These that have turned the world upside down," because they were preaching the power of Jesus Christ in a dark world that knew nothing of him. Do you know that turns worlds upside down? It'll turn your world and mine upside down. I want to encourage us to open our arms and embrace all that Jesus is. All of his teachings, all of his ways, all of his heart, all of his will for your life and mine. Embrace that. Embrace that and live for him in that way. I want to read one more place or so here. Ephesians 2 and 1. It says, 1 to 7. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." All this morning, weeping may endure but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The Lord has risen, folks. It's the morning. It can be the morning in our life today. Why should we be bound in darkness and despair, in chains of wickedness, in chains that bind us when there is life? I want to just tell us the good news of the story of Jesus Christ this morning. He came to set sinners free. He came to liberate the captives. He came to bring joy for desperation. Joy for desperation. He came to trade us peace for all of our frustrations this morning. That's the story of Jesus Christ. The Lord help each one of us. And I hope that we become inspired in our heart and mind. This one that has brought this to us, for us, given this to us. Shall I not walk in the rays of the light? Shall I not let His Son raise my life? Shall I not let Him speak to me as He did to Paul? And He turned Paul. He was going to Damascus, folks. He was going to kill people or put people in prison where maybe some of them would be killed. I don't know. The Lord so turned him around. He said, I'm going to send you unto them to turn them from darkness to light. That was Paul's mission. That can be our mission too. And it's a beautiful thing. When you see somebody that's walking the road of darkness, sin, disgrace, and shame, and they turn to walk the way of grace and truth and righteousness. Amen.